If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, a word about having a burden for the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, Paul writes, "Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for the church. And I pray today, Lord, you just give us a brand new burden, Lord, for serving the church and doing what we're supposed to do as the church, especially as we walk through these last days. Pray to come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Raise your hand when you think it's church. See, don't preach the gospel, don't do foreign missions, don't feed the hungry, don't take care of the widows and the orphans and the persecuted Christians in the third world, because that's not how you do church today. Amen. That is how you do church today. In case you didn't realize it, that wasn't the flying nun. That was the pastor of that church. Because it's not Jesus Christ who comes down from heaven anymore. Now it's the megachurch pastor that comes down from heaven. Because it's not about the greatest story ever told and people really getting saved. Now it's about the greatest show on earth and who gets the best reviews on Yelp. My God, people, what in the name of the flying Willendas has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ? And here's the even more important question. Do Christians even still care? Do you know what kind of shape the Church of Jesus Christ is in today? Do you care what kind of shape the Church of Jesus Christ is in today? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We turn today to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. In this part of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is telling us about all the things he suffered doing ministry. And in our text today, Paul tells us as bad as that persecution was, what was even worse was the burden that he had for all the churches that he planted. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you need to care about the church. You need to have that burden for the Church of Jesus Christ too. Our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, tells us three kinds of burdens that we need to have for the Church of Jesus Christ down here so we can be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ up there. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first kind of burden that we should have for the church is the burden for the entire church. And that's exactly what Paul says here in verse 28. He had a burden for all the churches. And I know somebody's hearing this right now. You say, well, Kevin, why should I care about the church? Because Jesus does. And if you're a Christian, that means you love what Jesus loves and Jesus loved the church. Well, Kevin, you don't need to go to church to go to heaven. No, you don't need a parachute to jump out of an airplane either. But it sure helps. Who still has a burden for the church? Because today, less than one out of four people in this country who call themselves Christians ever go to church on a Sunday morning anymore. Less than one out of four. One out of every five churches in America closed during COVID. 80 churches closed now every single week in America. This is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors. Where the heck's all the people? The church in America is dying, folks. Who's got a burden for the Church of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul did. The man spent 3.5 years killing himself, planting churches all over the Mediterranean world. And verse 28, he said he had a burden for every single one of them. But verse 13, Paul was being undercut by so-called false apostles who were trying to steal away the church at Corinth and all of his other congregations and turn them into seeker-sensitive megachurches that preached climate justice and firebombed Tesla dealerships and chanted free, free Palestine. And the reason they thought they could get away with it is because they were claiming that Paul didn't have any authority. Paul, they said, wasn't qualified to run a taco truck. So verses 20 to 27 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul lays out his street cred here for doing ministry. Descendant of Abraham, born again Christian, spent more time in prison, busted his hump more, got beaten and whipped more than all the other posers combined. 5 times, got 39 lashes with a whip. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was almost stoned to death. 3 times Paul was shipwrecked. He was in danger from rivers and from bandits, in danger from his own people and from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, slammed and slandered by false teachers. He went cold, tired, thirsty. He went without food and water and sleep. I could go on and on. Holy cow, the guy saw more action than a John Wick movie. Christians today think they're persecuted if Pastor Kevin doesn't get a haircut. Or if we run out of Long Johns on Donut Sunday. The man killed himself for the cause of Christ and for the church. But Paul says here, verse 28, as bad as that persecution was, as hard as it was on his outside, what was even worse is what did to him on the inside. All the pressure and the burden and the angst and the worry and the concern about all of those churches. And that word pressure there in verse 28 in the Greek is so strong, there's not even a real English word for it. Paul is like saying he had it like an elephant sitting on his chest, crushing the life out of him. And that burden never went away. 24/7, 365, it never let up. Paul getting up in the middle of the night, wondering whatever happened to that guy that was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. That girl wants to marry who? That guy did what when his parents weren't home? The social media person posted what on that church website? The trustees spent how much on shingles for the roof of that church? People in this congregation are now listening to a pastor named Kevin Garner. Is that guy a heretic? Paul blowing up his phone at 3 o'clock in the morning? Burden. And let me ask you, who has a burden for the Church of Jesus Christ today? Do you have a burden for the church? Because if you are a Christian, you are automatically a member of the body of Christ. You are automatically a part of the church, whether you like it or not. Because so many people today say, well, Kevin, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Jesus didn't hate the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, warts and all. Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her. So how in the world can you say that you love Jesus and hate his body and hate his bride at the same time? You can't. Well, Kevin, the church does all kinds of things I don't like. The church does things I don't like either. Well, Kevin, I've been hurt by people in the church. Join the club. Boo-hoo. I've been hurt by people in the church too. But listen, if you left the church because people hurt you, you weren't worshiping God. You were worshiping the people. Can we understand the good things about the church, the kind of blessing that the church is supposed to be? Because where else are you going to go to hear the good news? Where else are you going to hear about the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? Hooters or the Silver Slipper? Where else are you going to go where you're forced to stop scrolling on your stupid phone and actually interact with other real people? Where else are you going to go where you're going to get greeted by a man in a 3-piece suit with a Jerry Garcia tie? Where else are you going to go where you see lawyers and doctors and farmers and truck drivers on their knees side by side in the presence of God, acknowledging that they're all one in Jesus Christ and not one is any better than the other? Amen. You come to church, you're making a statement. God is important to me. And all these people are important to me. Right. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. Do we understand the blessing that church is supposed to be? Last April the 12th, Redemption Living Church, Gulfport, Mississippi, was having a big Easter egg hunt in that city for all the little kids at Golden Park. But a 24-year-old man showed up there who had a hate on for the baby mama of his 4-year-old daughter there. And when he saw that baby mama, he pulled a 9mm and was ready to shoot and kill that woman when all of a sudden an elder from that church, a man named Eddie Shedd, jumped between that man and that woman and took 3 bullets to the chest and died on the spot and saved that young woman's life. This is what the pastor said about Eddie Shedd. This guy was part of our family, our church, and the most Jesus-like person I've ever known. And he did a great heroic thing that's not surprising at all to anybody who knew him. That's the church of Jesus Christ, folks. Do you understand the kind of blessing it is and the kind of blessing that it can be? Do we have a burden for the church? And listen, we better have a burden for the church, because right now the church of Jesus Christ is committing spiritual suicide. There is a gay pastor dressed like a woman at a church in Malden, Massachusetts, this past Easter Sunday.
Happy Drag Easter. Woo! A first prayer tradition now that we've done it 3 years in a row. A tradition for Easter where we tell a Christian story. Should I keep this hat on? Yeah? Okay. We feel good about it? Okay, good. I always need some fashion help.
Jesus said, Luke chapter 17, verses 28 to 31, in the last days, everything would be Sodom and Gomorrah, including the church. And that's exactly what we're seeing right in front of our very eyes. Right now, the pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in San Francisco, California, is a full-fledged practicing witch. If that doesn't tell you about the church today, I don't know what does. Right now, the hottest book in Christianity is 1,696 pages of toilet paper called the Zondervan Upside Down Bible. It's the Bible rewritten so that it's stupid woke about creation and gender and marriage and family and immigration and climate change. So it's not the Bible itself that's upside down. It's the theology of the snowflake that wrote that piece of garbage. That's what's upside down. People, the woke church is gone. BLM church, gone. Rainbow church, gone. Denominational church is gone, because the denominations today are just abominations. Ichabod, for the glory of God, has departed, and they don't even see it. Amen. And I'll say it for the billionth time, for the gazillions of Christians who still don't hear it and still don't understand it. If you really have a burden for the church, if you really have a burden for the voice and the ministry of the church, for the love of God, you have got to speak up about so-called political things. Because Christians, you are citizens of this country too. And why should it be just the pagans who are making all the laws? God called you to be the light of the world in absolutely everything, and that also includes politics. And every single so-called political issue is really a moral or a spiritual issue that the Bible talks about. And if God talks about it in the Bible, we've got to talk about it. For crying out loud, Christians, don't let the spineless jellyfish in the church intimidate you into silence. Tee it high and let it fly. And Christians, we especially need to be speaking up here in Illinois, where we have a fascist lunatic governor who's used abortion to turn the land of Lincoln into the deadliest killing fields in the entire United States. Illinois is a sanctuary state for abortion, sanctuary state for queer and little kids, sanctuary state for illegal aliens. We're spending $3 billion of your money every year on illegals so J.B. Pritzker can run for president. And here's what he says about it.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box.
People, you don't think that guy declared war on us and on everything that's decent and holy in this state? And now he's promising to make next month the gayest pride month in the history of Illinois to brainwash your kids even more. You don't think it's time to stand up and start speaking out against this absolute disgrace of a politician? But see, the jellyfish in the church say, don't say anything, don't say anything. Because that's not what Jesus would do. Christians, we got to stand up and speak out against all these bad bills from hell that are coming out of the Illinois legislature right now. Senate Bill number 9 would legalize doctor-assisted suicide in this state. And even though every doctor in the state of Illinois, in the Illinois Medical Society, voted against it, it's still going to go to the floor for a vote. Because the left is all about depopulation, and they know what starts out as voluntary very quickly becomes mandatory. Canada right now is using doctor-assisted suicide to kill off people who are hearing impaired, people who are just suffering from depression. But see, don't say anything, don't say anything, because that's not what Jesus would do. Senate Bill 1560 is going to destroy the Christian beliefs of your children. because Senate Bill 1560 is going to require mandatory mental health screenings for all children in Illinois public schools starting in the third grade and every year after that to determine whether or not your kids have a mental illness. Well, the question is, who determines what a mental illness is? Does believing in the Bible constitute a mental illness? Believing in biblical creation? Believing that gender is binary, that a boy can't turn into a girl? Does believing that marriage consists of a man and a woman, is that considered mental illness? And are parents going to be involved in the process of the mental health screenings? And are parents going to be considered crazy if they disagree with the diagnosis? They're trying to take your children away from you, church, by labeling you nuts and putting you in re-education camp. But see, don't say anything. Don't say anything because Christians shouldn't be involved in political issues because Jesus wouldn't do that. My gosh, people, the state bird of Illinois shouldn't be the cardinal. It should be the ostrich. Senate Bill 2254 would reduce the distance that a pedophile has to stay away from a public school in Illinois from 500 feet down to 250 feet. Why would they want that? Well, last week, Democrats in the state of California voted down a bill that would have made it a felony for adults to buy children for sex. They're trying to normalize sex between adults and children. See what's coming for the state of Illinois slowly but surely? See what's coming down the pike for the land of Lincoln? They want pedophiles to use your kids as sex toys. My God, people, you talk about evil. But don't say anything. Christians, whatever you do, don't say anything. Because that's not what Jesus would do. Remember House Bill 2827 that would have destroyed Christian homeschooling in this state by letting local school boards regulate it to death? Well, what do you know? Here in deep purple Illinois, with a supermajority leftist legislature that could vote in any bill they wanted, any time they wanted, so many Christians in this state stood up and prayed and protested and made phone calls and texted and sent emails and filled out witness slips and raised such holy hell, the original sponsor of that bill, Tara Costa Howard, eventually pulled it because she knew she didn't have enough votes to get it passed, at least for now. And why did that happen? Because Christians stood up and they spoke up. People, don't tell me believers aren't supposed to speak up about political things. And I know there's pastors listening to the sermon right now. Well, Kevin, if I speak out about something political, my church is going to lose its tax-exempt status. For crying out loud, pastors, God has not called you to be tax-exempt. God has called you to be salt and light. And there is not one church in the history of the United States that has ever lost its tax-exempt status. Not one. Because the United States Constitution guarantees that your church is tax-exempt no matter what you say, no matter what you do. So for the love of God, Christians, grow a spine, put on your big boy and your big girl pants, get some gravel in your gut, some spit in your eye, stand up for the church and say something for Jesus Christ. The first kind of burden that we need to have for the church, we need to have a burden for the church as a whole. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second kind of burden we need to have for the church. We not only need to have a burden for the church as a whole, we also need to have a burden for this church. And that's also what we see here in verse 28. You got a burden for Fox River Church? Because I do. I spent half my life here. 31 years. And you know why? Because every time I tried to leave and go somewhere else, every time Sue and I had an opportunity to go somewhere else, God always told us exactly the same thing. Stay here. Amen. And this isn't the hardest job in the world, but it's the hardest job I've ever had. I work 90 hours a week. I sleep 4 to 5 hours a night. This job has ruined my eyesight. It's cost me life-changing money. My wife and I stopped trying to have children for the sake of the ministry of this church. And I tell you what, folks, I could leave this church tomorrow without shedding a tear. But until that time comes and I turn in my key and I walk out that door for the last time, that burden is still in here. You got a burden for this church? And listen to me, you better have a burden for this church because Fox River shouldn't even be here anymore. The vast majority of churches in America that are over 100 years old are long since dead, or they've been turned into museums or antique shops. Fox River Church is 186 years old, started in 1839. And it's a country church. Yeah. Country churches in America aren't supposed to have any people left. They're not supposed to have any money. They're not supposed to have any musical talent to even put on a worship service. Well, guess what? We've got people in this church from 17 different zip codes. We've got more money than we know what to do with. And we've got a praise band that's better than Bethel worship and Elevation worship put together. And don't tell me that's not a gift from God. And what makes it even harder, we're out in the middle of nowhere here. The joke they told me 31 years ago when I came here. Norway, Illinois is not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. So you come to Fox River Church, you're hardcore. Because the closest Walmart's 15 miles away. There's no mall here. There's no grocery store. There's no coffee shop next door. You come to Fox River Church, you're coming here on purpose because there ain't nothing else out here. You got a burden for this church? People have a burden for this church because it's not seeker sensitive. We don't water down the Bible to attract the crowd to put butts in the seats. Because the seeker-sensitive church is all about numbers. Summertime is the time of the year when all the seeker-sensitive churches start bragging about how many kids they have signed up for Vacation Bible School. We've got 700 this year. Well, we've got 450. You notice Fox River never does that? Do you realize when you stand before the throne on Judgment Day, God is not going to ask you what church you went to or what the average attendance was?
Amen.
Because not everything that can be counted is important. And not everything that's important can be counted. Seeker-sensitive is supposedly all about bringing in seekers, all about bringing lost people into your church and changing your church so that the seekers like the church and that the seekers are comfortable with the church. And for the love of God, whatever you do, don't ever say anything that might offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. Don't say anything that might be controversial because those giving units, or I mean those people, might not come back to church next Sunday. There's a seeker-sensitive church 15 miles away from here will not even let their people put up a sign that says pray against abortion because they say the word abortion might offend somebody. 70 million dead unborn babies from abortion since 1973. My God, I think it ought to offend somebody. And seeker-sensitive isn't even biblical. Jesus said, John chapter 4, verse 23, the only real seeker who ever shows up at your church on a Sunday morning is God, seeking and looking for somebody who's going to follow Him.
Amen.
So church isn't about seekers, it's about God. Church isn't about making seekers comfortable, it's about making God comfortable. I don't care if seekers like Fox River Church, I care if God likes Fox River Church.
Amen.
And the whole seeker-sensitive worship claptrap. There is not one verse anywhere in your Bible where God asks somebody, how do you want to worship me? But over and over and over again in the Bible, God specifically tells people, this is how you worship me.
Amen.
Well, Kevin, I didn't like the worship today. So what? We weren't worshiping you. We're worshiping God. There is a typical seeker-sensitive worship service. You know why the music's always so loud? Because deep down inside, they do not trust the Holy Spirit to draw people to Christ. They think they've got to use music to do it. And seeker-sensitive churches don't even fight the real battle because all the weapons that Jesus has given us, the dreams and the visions and the prophecies and the laying on of hands and the anointing with oil and the casting out demons and the spiritual warfare, they don't even tell their people about it because they're afraid they're going to get weirded out and not come back to church. So seeker-sensitive church, the devil is having a field day. The model is meet them in the parking lot, give them a latte, get them up front for an altar call, dunk them, give them a t-shirt, and send them back home. But the problem is they go back home exactly the same way that they came because there's no Holy Spirit. There's no real encounter with the Holy Spirit of God that pierces their heart and convicts their soul and leads them to real repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And how do we know that? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of seeker-sensitive churches in this country, and only 6% of adults in the church have a biblical worldview. Only 3% of teenagers in the church have a biblical worldview. Only 12% of people in the church read the Bible every day. Less than half of all Christians can name even three of the Ten Commandments. 40% of Christians think there's nothing wrong with gay marriage. Over 80% of all young people in the church live together before they get married. I could go on and on. People, can we admit once and for all, like Bill Hybels did 25 years ago already, seeker sensitive doesn't work. People have a burden for Fox River because here at Fox River, we're not about filling up buildings. We're about standing up for truth. Because the Bible says a church is supposed to do more than bring so-called seekers into the building. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says the church is supposed to be the pillar and the foundation of the truth. The church is supposed to speak truth. The church is supposed to be the conscience of a nation. Sinful nation, silent church, which means, Christians, sometimes you're supposed to say things that aren't seeker sensitive at all. The world hates God, the world hates the gospel, and the world hates you. So if you're not making anybody mad, you're obviously not doing your job. Now, are we supposed to be seeking lost people? Absolutely. I have an altar call just about every sermon that I preach. But I don't preach to fill a church. I preach to try to keep people from going to hell. And why? Because we filled this church 16 years ago in 2009. We filled this church before. So what? I don't care how many unbelievers you bring into this church in here. The devil is still going to have the biggest church out there. The vast majority of lost people are never going to be in Fox River Church. The vast majority of people are always going to be out there. That's why Jesus says, Matthew 28:19, go into all the world. And that's why Fox River does so much outreach. And if there's a church in this area that does more outreach and evangelism than Fox River, you're going to have to show me what it is. People, if you want your church to reach lost people, you've got to reach lost people. Because you're the church.
Amen.
So let me ask you, how many people did you witness to last week? People wanting the pastor to do what they ought to be doing on their own.
That's right.
You know what? I think I'm preaching now. Well, Kevin, we reached all the Trump supporters. We've led a lot of MAGA people to Christ. How are we going to reach the people on the other side? How are we going to reach the leftists? How are we going to reach Generation Z? How are we going to reach the millennials? John chapter 8, verse 32. What is it that sets people free? The only thing that sets anybody free, it's the truth. You preach the truth. You give people the word of God. Preach the word from the heart, no compromise, no apologies, and trust the Holy Spirit for the results. That's Fox River Church.
Amen.
People have a burden for this church because there's something different about this church. I'm not a church growth expert. I don't make millions of dollars a year consulting. Kevin Garner doesn't have a YouTube channel telling people how to do church. But I've been in ministry for 44 years, and I know this. There's got to be something different about your church. Because if your church is just like everybody else's, there's no reason in the world why anybody would go to your church instead of anybody else's. And there's obviously something different about Fox River Church. We've got a guy right, sits right over here. Every other Sunday, he drives to this church all the way from Joliet, passing dozens of other churches along the way. Why? Because there's something different about this church. He gets something here that he can't get in any of those other churches. We've got a man in our church who drives 50 miles one way to come to this church on a Sunday morning. And he's got a church 5 minutes away from his house. He drives past that church and dozens of others in the other 45 minutes to come here because there's something different about this church, something that he gets here that he can't get in any of the other churches. We got a family right here, the Eichelbergers, that drive over an hour from Geneva to be here on a Sunday morning. And they drive past dozens and dozens of other churches. They come here because there's something different about this church. Because they get something here that they can't get in any other church. There's got to be something different about your church. So for the life of me, I can't figure out why churches all want to be the same. They all sing the same songs. They sing the songs in the same way. They have a pastor who looks like he's about 12 years old, who wears blue jeans and a flannel shirt and black rimmed glasses that he doesn't need, but wears them anyway because he thinks it makes him look hot. There's no sermon because that would be too preachy, so it's called teaching. and the church has some focus-tested, cool-sounding name like fusion or elevation or revolution or journey or passages or some Greek word that some staffer learned in Bible college like agape or ekklesia. Just another suburban church. You've seen one, you've seen them all. And constant appeals for money because the church is always in debt. Well, here at Fox River, we do something different. We've got the best praise band in the history of the world because they do all kinds of songs. No costumes, no acting, no performance, just worship. No filler, all killer. And the name of our church is Fox River because we're close to the Fox River. How cool is that? And nobody ever asked you for money here. Nobody even talks about money here. There's no QR code in the bulletin that you're supposed to scan to give money with your phone. There's people who have come to this church, it's 2 or 3 months before they even figure out how they can give money. Because we don't even tell people where their collection boxes are. It's like we don't want anybody's money at all. It's like, I dare you to give us something. There's something different about this church. What's different about this church is the message. 14 miles that way is a seeker-sensitive church whose pastors are disciples of Joel Osteen. 14 miles that way, there's another seeker-sensitive church where they never talk about the end times because it might weird people out. 14 miles that way is another seeker-sensitive church where they never mention LGBTQ because that might make somebody uncomfortable. 30 miles in that direction is a church with a yellow belly pastor who never talks about political issues. We have people at Fox River from every single one of those churches. They come here because there's something different about this church. They can get something here that they can't get in any of those other churches. And we preach the gospel and we see people saved here at Fox River too. But we also preach the truth from the Word of God about all kinds of issues and about all kinds of things that are happening in real life. All kinds of things that people have to deal with every single day. And we also talk about Bible prophecies that's exploding right now, right in front of our very eyes. There's something different about this church. There's something different about this church because there are men here. Right now, there are 13 million more women than men in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. So most churches, it's 3-1, even 4-1, women to men. Here at Fox River, there's men everywhere. And why? Because the pastor, because the guest speakers like this guy here, because our leaders, our council, our elders, our Sunday school teachers talk like men. And they talk to men. And they call men to be men of God and not male impersonators and pansies like Governor Tim Walz. There's something different about this church. There's something different about this church because this church is a refuge for all kinds of people. There are married couples in this church, literally, the only time they ever get to sit together in one place is in this church on Sunday morning. There's people in this church, they're the only Christians in their family. So they've made this church their family. This is the only place all week where they can go where they're not laughed at and made fun of for following Jesus. There's people in this church, they're the only Christians where they work, same thing. This is a refuge, the one place where they won't be made fun of and ridiculed for following Christ. There's people in this church whose lives are so hectic and so crazy and so sad and chaotic. The only peace they have the entire week is when they sit in this room on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. Amen. There's people in this church that come from other churches. They have no intention of being a part of Fox River Church, but their church is so dead. They come here once in a while to see the Holy Spirit move and to see people get saved because it gives them hope and encouragement that if they seek God, maybe that could happen in their church too. And we've had people in those kind of situations come here all the way from Minnesota and Wisconsin and Indiana, from Southern Illinois, from Danville and Bloomington, Illinois. I could go on and on and on. 95% of the churches in America, nobody ever gets saved, ever. Nobody ever prays to receive Christ. Another 2% of churches in America, people get saved like once every 25 years. Here at Fox River, we got people getting saved right and left. Here's two more letters that I got just last week. Dear Pastor Garner, just want you to know that my husband and I prayed to receive Christ after your sermon about Jesus walking on the water. We've been in churches our entire lives, but the Holy Spirit finally spoke to us in a way that we finally heard. Thanks and praise to God, and thanks to Fox River Lutheran Church for leading us to Jesus. Praise the Lord! Here's another one. Dear Fox River Church, we are praising God for your live stream because our 19-year-old son just got saved after watching the sermon about Jesus healing the blind man. At 14, our son got mad at God and lived like hell for the next 5 years to try to get back at God. But that all changed last month when he finally gave his life to Christ. Thank you for your church's ministry because it's changed our family forever. Praise God! Praise God from whom all blessings flow! There's something different about this church. And I've got a burden for it. Questions this morning. How about you? Second kind of burden we need to have for the church. We need to have a burden for this church. One in this text, we see a third thing. A third kind of burden that we need to have for the church. We not only need to have a burden for the church as a whole. We not only need to have a burden for this church. We need to have a burden for the church of the last days. Which is the church that we're in right now. Because according to the end times timeline, we are right there, right there, right there at the exact end of the church age. Right before the rapture and the start of the great tribulation. When God's going to pour out holy hell judgment on this world for rejecting Jesus as the Savior. And the great tribulation starts with the rapture. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 3 and 4 says the rapture happens after the great falling away from the faith that has already happened. And the appearance of the man of sin, the Antichrist, who was already waiting in the wings. People, we are this close to everything being over. So the last day's church is made up of the faithful remnant that's waiting for Jesus to come and rapture us to heaven, along with all the posers who are waiting for the Antichrist to lead them through the hell on earth of the great tribulation. And what's even sadder, they don't even know it. Because the seeker-sensitive church today will not tell them about the last days because they're afraid it's going to weird them out and they won't come back to church. So seeker-sensitive pastors are a lot more interested in keeping people coming to church than they are keeping people from going to hell. That's the Laodicean church of the last days. Amen. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Because all the signs are there. We really are living in the last days. Pope Francis died. People, it's like somebody pulled the lid off the underworld. And all the evil and all the demonic just started bubbling to the surface. Pfizer Corporation is now making another push for their clot shot. Pfizer spelled backwards is Rezif, and that's a Hebrew word that literally means burner. The name of one of the gods of the underworld that causes all kinds of death and destruction, which is more than appropriate because that's what Pfizer's done. Caused all kinds of death and destruction with the clot shot. Right now in Sugar Land, Texas, in the heart of the Bible Belt, there is a 90-foot tall statue of the Hindu monkey god Hanuman. A 90-foot tall statue of an idol, just like the 90-foot statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And people are already bowing down to it. When Pope Francis died, April the 21st, the same day, Klaus Schwab retired as the head of the World Economic Forum. And also the same day, Nazi flags started going up all over Europe. You don't think we're living in the last days, you're not thinking. Last days church. Last days church today is all about the death of Pope Francis and his successor in the papacy. And that's exposed all kinds of things. There is the throne room of the Pope at the Vatican in Rome. Let me ask you, why does that room look like a snake? And did you know that there's no cross in that room anywhere? And see the throne where the Pope sits, where he makes all of his official pronouncements from? Why is there a statue behind him that looks like a demon? Surrounded by other things that look like flying demons? Just asking. Pope Francis was a soft man with a soft mind and a soft spine. 2024, he called for the blessing of same-sex marriage, something that God's word clearly condemns. And Pope Francis is all about communism. And liberation theology, constantly pushing for a one-world government, constantly sucking up and getting cozy with the religion of Islam. February 15, 2019, he kissed the world leader of Sunni Islam, Imam Sheikh Al-Tayeb, on the lips and signed a document called the Declaration of Human Fraternity that basically created Chrislam, the demonic combination of Christianity and Islam, and the foundation for the one-world religion of the Antichrist.
That's right.
2018, Pope Francis covered up all kinds of sexual abuse of children and child sex trafficking in the Catholic Church. And now his successor, Robert Prevo, the Pope from the United States, that Pope Francis wanted to succeed him. Robert Prevo has a track record of covering up child sexual abuse and child sex trafficking in the Catholic Church too. So the pattern continues. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, in the last days, evil will increase. That's the last days church. And here's the kicker. The same day, the exact same day that Pope Francis died at age 88, 88-year-old Klaus Schwab resigned as the head of the WEF that's all about open borders and one world government too. Gee, you think maybe that there's a connection between the two of them? And have you seen the guy who succeeded Klaus Schwab as the head of the WEF? CEO of Nestle Corporation? A guy named Peter Brabeck LaMotta? Who thinks that water is not a human right but a commodity that a global society like WEF should be able to control? So he's going to ration water to you. And you're only going to get 25 gallons a day, which means you don't get to take a shower. You never get to wash your car. So Peter Brabeck LaMotta is going to be even more totalitarian, control freak, great reset than Klaus Schwab ever was. But don't worry, because even though you'll own nothing, you'll still be happy. Right? And notice his messed up eye. Notice the bloody right eye. Just like the Bond villain Lafitte in that movie Casino Royale. Zechariah chapter 11 verses 15 to 17 says that the Antichrist will have a messed up eye. You can't make this stuff up, people. The spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist in the last days church. And who is it that's been pulling most of the strings on the world stage the last several weeks? Antichrist wannabe French President Emmanuel Macron, who checks all the biblical boxes for being the Antichrist. Emmanuel Macron has five first names, and every single one of them has to do with God. Emmanuel, God with us. Jean, beloved of God. Michelle, who is like God. Frederick, peaceful ruler of God. Amiens, faithful to God. And the last name, Macron, which in French means mark, as in Mark of the Beast. Emmanuel Macron is part European, part Jewish, and part Assyrian, which is exactly what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to be. 2017, he was elected as president of France with 66.6% of the vote. 666. Emmanuel Macron says he wants to raise up an army for the European Union and use it to march against Israel. Ding, 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 ding. And Emmanuel Macron was closer to Pope Francis than any other world leader. And Pope Francis pegged him as the world leader when it came to the response to COVID and the pandemic. And the Italian media reported last week that Emmanuel Macron was manipulating the Catholic conclave to get the person that he and Francis both wanted as the next pope in office. Like the Antichrist picking his false prophet. You don't think we're living in the last days? All the signs are there, folks. We are this close. We are this close to everything wrapping up. And everything being over. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says, in the last days after the rapture during the great tribulation, the Antichrist will set up a one world government and a one world economy, all based on a biometric payment system called the Mark of the Beast, a smart device that he will have implanted in everybody's right hand or forehead. And everybody will have to use the Mark of the Beast or they won't be able to participate in the world's economy. The Greek in Revelation chapter 13 says that mark won't be something on a person's body. It will be in a person's body. And we know now that the mark of the beast is going to be some kind of human implantable microchip that will be injected into your body. And it will store all your personal information and all your financial information. And it can be accessed by the internet. And it will be able to exchange and transfer digital currency. So with the mark of the beast, the Antichrist will be able to control every single aspect of your life. Because if you don't worship him, if you don't obey him, if you don't do everything he tells you to do, just like that, he pushes a button and all your money is gone. And we've seen all kinds of things over the last several years proven that we are moving closer and closer to the mark of the beast system. 3 years ago, millions of people in Sweden and Scandinavia started getting microchips put in their hands. Microchips that stored all their personal information and all their financial information. So far, over 30 million people all over the world have already been microchipped, proving that when the mark of the beast comes along, people will line up for it like it's the greatest app in the history of the world. 2 years ago, Amazon came out with something called a palm reader payment system, where they take a scan of your palm because it's unique to every person. And that palm print becomes your global ID that can exchange digital currency. So you can literally pay for things just by scanning and swiping your hand at a scanner at a cash register. A payment system called Amazon One that's been used in Whole Foods stores for the last 2 years. Last year, Cali Express stores and Steak and Shake started using a biometric system called Pop ID. It's a facial scan, a scan of your face, so you can go into those restaurants and pay for things simply by looking at the cash register. All kinds of biometric ways that people are now buying and selling and participating in the economy just with parts of their body. The picture you see on the screen shows the five different ways now, the five different biometric systems that people can use to pay for things. Fingerprints, facial scan, iris scan, the veins of your palm, and voice recognition. Notice there's five of them. Five in the Bible, the number of death and destruction. See what's coming? You see the warning? And there's the latest biometric system. Back in 2020, tech billionaire Sam Altman created the company called WorldCoin to create a global currency and to give everybody a global ID and another way to transfer digital currency. Another way of moving the world closer to a one world economy and the mark of the beast. So 2 years ago, he came out with what he called the Orb, a stainless steel bowling ball sized globe that scans the irises in your eyeballs. And that iris scan serves as your global ID and can transfer digital currency so you can literally pay for things with your eyes. And just this past week, WorldCoin set up orbs in six different cities in America. Austin, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Los Angeles, California, Miami, Florida, and San Francisco, California. And folks, the concern is not the convenience. The concern is the kind of control that that system can have over you and over your life. Because you can change your password on a computer, but you can't change your retina. And once Big Brother has that scan of your eyeball that controls all your finances, you don't toe the party line. You quote something from the Bible. You buy a gun. You vote for Donald Trump. Big Brother cuts you off. We've already seen the Chinese Communist Party doing that to people in China with social credit scores. It happened to the Canadian truckers when all their bank accounts were canceled when they protested. PayPal has cut off the financial accounts of conservatives like that. This isn't just a conspiracy theory. It's a warning. Because all of this is just a dry run for what the Bible says is going to happen. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, when the Antichrist puts that mark of the beast in people's right hands and forehead. Because look at how creepy close we are right now. Amazon is using what? The palm of people's hands. WorldCoin uses what? Eyes and people's foreheads. Hand and forehead. Hands and forehead. All digital and biometric. Just exactly like the Bible says, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, 2,000 years ago already. People, I believe with all of my heart, there is the mark of the beast. Back in 2020, Bill Gates of hell came out with a quantum dot vaccine system called. That injects like microchips, tiny nanoparticles under your skin. Nanoparticles that glow with a chemical called luciferase. So they can be found and scanned with a handheld device. Nanoparticles that contain all your personal information and all your financial information. And can be accessed by the internet and can transfer digital currency. And get this, Bill Gates invented that vaccine system before the pandemic even started. Proving that the vaccine wasn't created for the virus. The virus was created for the vaccine to help put the mark of the beast system in place all over the world. People, I believe with all of my heart, that is the mark of the beast. It is right there. It's just waiting for the beast to show up. Amen. And how do we know that? Remember the patent number? Yeah. Bill Gates, quantum dot vaccine system, 2020-06. 06-06-666. And how do we know that Sam Altman's orb is just a preview of the mark of the beast system? Sam Altman's company is WorldCoin. There is the logo for Sam Altman's company. There is the WorldCoin logo. The WorldCoin logo is made up of what? Six, six, six. I rest my case. People, any second now, Jesus Christ is coming again in the rapture to take us Christians home. And the great tribulation is going to start. Jesus said a time of trouble, the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again, when God pours out holy hell judgment on this world and the devil is let free to run wild. And the Bible says it will be so bad men will faint on account of fear. And if you're listening to the sermon and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you're not going up to heaven with us. You're going to stay down here and you're going to go through that great tribulation and the hell on earth with the Antichrist and the mark of the beast that's already here. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why churches aren't telling people this. Why aren't they warning people about it? Why aren't they shouting it from the housetops? There's people listening to this sermon right now. All kinds of churches in America will give you Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you with French fries. But they don't tell you anything about the end times because they are absolutely clueless about what's really going on and absolutely clueless about how short the time really is. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You are in one of those churches. Listen, time is way too short and your soul is way too important to stay in that church. You've got to get your butt out of that Laodicean church and you've got to get into a remnant church that still preaches the Word of God and calls people to repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. A church that will hold you accountable and help you navigate these last days until the rapture happens and Jesus takes you home.
Amen.
And I know there's somebody here and they say, well, Kevin, I don't need a church. I don't need to be in a church. See the picture, the herd of zebra with the lion? The lion going after the little zebra because he's not a part of the herd. If I'm a Christian, but I don't need the church, was a photo. People, in these last days, when the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion more than ever before, you need to be in a church more than ever before.
Amen.
And more than anything else, if you're listening to this sermon right now, and sitting in this church and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you've never prayed, you've never confessed your sin to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. The nanosecond this service is over with, you get out of your seat, you've got to come to the front of this church and get saved.
Amen.
Because the mark of the beast is coming. The Antichrist is coming. The great tribulation is coming. Hell on earth is coming. Jesus doesn't want you to go through that, and I don't want you to go through that either. And you don't have to. Today, the nanosecond this service is over, you come to the front of this church, find somebody up here. We will pray with you. We will lead you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so you can know what's going to happen to you in these last days. Listen to me. The only way out is up. And the only way you go up is by trusting Jesus as your Savior. You never prayed that prayer. You need to be up here at the front of this church the nanosecond this service is over. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the church. I thank you, Lord, that you still have a plan. Lord, even in these last days for the church, we've got to get as many people into the kingdom as we possibly can. I just pray for somebody here today who's never trusted you as their Savior. They've never prayed that prayer. They've never asked you to come into their heart. I pray, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit would just make it personal for them. There's somebody here who has sat through services and time after time after time, they've turned down that offer. Today, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit, Lord, you would just move them today to make that decision for you. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.